Thank you so much for being here. I am really excited to be here to be able to talk about and participate in this discussion on food access, particularly relating to food vending and obesity. So I have no relationships to disclose. So as by way of background, as you probably all already know, obesity rates are increasing across all groups in the U.S. But blacks and Latinos, particularly women, have higher rates of obesity than whites, and unequal access to healthy foods is one explanation that's been proposed to explain some of these differences. And certain food environments, like food deserts, which are neighborhoods with none or few healthy food options, are believed to impact the health of people in those neighborhoods. And we've heard a little bit about about food vending and how food vending is often unhealthy, but how it can also be used as potentially a solution in disadvantaged neighborhoods. And similarly, the New York City Department of Health has attempted to use the street vendor model to promote healthy foods instead of unhealthy foods. So a little bit about the Green Cards program. It was established in 2008 by the New York City Department of Health, and they created 1,000 new mobile produce cart permits, which are restricted to selling in these shaded areas. The map of New York City, so Northern Manhattan, South and Central Bronx, Western Queens, and North and Central Brooklyn. And the primary goal of the program is to increase fresh fruit and vegetable access in these neighborhoods, which are low income, have very low reported fruits and vegetable intake, high rates of obesity, and possibly, questionably, low access to healthy foods. So the Green Cards program sounds like a great idea at first glance, and so the city gets to increase access to fresh fruits and vegetables while simultaneously creating jobs for vendors. But since these green cart vendors need to make a living, we theorize that they might cluster near areas with more potential customers, like commercial areas where stores already exist, especially supermarkets, or along the edges of sort of those designated shaded boundaries next to sort of wealthier neighborhoods. For example, there are a number of carts outside of Mount Sinai, which is where I did my research, and Mount Sinai is big hospital and university, and it's technically in East Harlem, which is one of the program's target neighborhoods, but they also are right next to bordering the Upper East Side, which is wealthy and white. So we aim to determine whether green carts are in food deserts, truly, areas that have no stores carrying fruits and vegetables, and also to examine what other neighborhood factors influence where green cart vendors chose to locate. And then finally, we hope to identify some sites within food deserts that might not be serviced by green carts yet. So what we did was we mapped known green cart locations based on a New York City Department of Health list, and then we took census tracts inside these shaded areas that didn't already have a green cart, and we generated these fake candidate sites that I'll be referring to. And we looked at both the shaded areas and we looked at the food environment within the shaded areas and half a mile beyond those shaded areas to sort of capture the food environment that people living within those areas would have access to. So we started with, to map the food environment, we started with a list of retail food outlets from the InfoUSA 2012 industry classification codes. And because a number of studies, including one by Dr. Lucan, have shown that, have brought up the issues that commercial databases lists are very inaccurate, we checked each entry on this list against Google Maps Street View to look up each store to see, does it exist, and is there any evidence that it sells fruits and vegetables? Is it healthy or unhealthy? And then we also looked, used online store locator tools to look up additional chain supermarket locations. And then we validated this method using field surveys for a small portion of the stores. So after we identified the healthy and unhealthy stores in our study area, we examined the food environment within a quarter mile of each green cart or candidate site, and then categorized each site as being a food desert or not. And so a site was in a food desert if it had no healthy food stores within a quarter mile, and healthy if it had at least one healthy food store nearby. So the quarter mile distance that we decided to go with is a little more conservative. It's about a 5-minute walk, but it's what it's more conservative than what is a common definition of food desert as being a distance of 1 mile. But because this is an urban area with a very high density of food outlets, you know, if we looked at the 1 mile definition, there would be no food deserts in New York City. So in addition to looking at the food environment and the food outlets around green carts, we compared other factors that we thought might be associated with where green carts choose to go, like population, race and ethnicity, the income, proximity to subway stops, large businesses with 500 or more employees. And then we did chi-square tests to compare the two the green carts to the candidate sites, as well as a multivariable logistic regression. So these are the results. So New York City gave us a list of 265 green carts, and we then identified 644 candidate sites. And these are pie charts showing that the number of healthy food stores near the green carts compared to near candidate sites. As you can see on the left in red, very few, very small slice of the green carts are actually in food deserts. And then slightly more are near just one other healthy food store, but the vast majority really are near multiple healthy food stores. And then in comparison, the candidate sites, over at least a third of the candidate sites, were in food deserts. So this suggests that there are places where food deserts exist in New York City, and that you know, these residents might still lack access to fresh fruits and vegetables. This is a map of the actual green cart locations on the left, and then the candidate sites on the right. And so each dot represents either an actual or candidate green cart, and the dots are colored by the food environment that they're located in. So all the red dots are carts or sites in food deserts. And on the left, you can see how few actual carts are in food deserts. And of these, a couple of the carts that are supposedly in food deserts are in areas where they're not even supposed to be selling. So looking at parts of the Bronx and Queens circled on the left, you can see that there are almost no red dots in some areas. So there are no green carts in the food deserts in these areas. But if you look at the same areas on the right, there are a lot of red dots. So there are plenty of sites within food deserts that green carts could potentially go. So this is a table of the results of the multivariable logistic regression that we did of demographic and neighborhood characteristics and how they relate to green cart placement. So you can see that green carts had 3 times the odds of being in a more population-dense area, and were nearly 50 times the odds of being right next to a subway stop compared to over a quarter mile away. Green carts were much more likely to be near large employers and near other food stores. Interestingly, green carts were not more or less likely to be in tracts that have either high or low poverty rates. So we found that green carts were generally not positioned in food deserts where residents have low access to fresh fruits and vegetables, but instead they just seem to be in areas with high foot traffic and commercial activity where people are likely to pass by, quickly grab some fruits and vegetables. And this, the fact that a third of candidate sites were located in food deserts suggests that that some of these locations might be places where the New York City Green Cart program or the Department of Health could maybe incentivize vendors to locate in these areas to further increase the impact of the Green Carts program. I do want to mention that even though Green Carts weren't always in food deserts, they might offer other benefits besides reducing food deserts, which we didn't explore, such as providing a visible reminder for people passing by to buy fruits and vegetables in neighborhoods that are inundated often with advertising for unhealthy foods. And then they may also provide cheaper alternatives than supermarkets for purchasing fruits and vegetables. And so all of these things should be investigated further. we did have a number of limitations in our study. And the first being that not all of the existing CART permits were accounted for in the Department of Health list. So the Department of Health said there are 470 active green cards, but their list only had 265 locations. The next limitation is that carts can move around freely, so we may not have captured all of the, whether a cart is always in a food desert or not. However, I've interviewed several of the cart vendors, and they report that they rarely ever change locations once they have set up shop. There may also be inaccuracies in the way we characterize the food environment as far as healthy and unhealthy store classification, but I think that our method of using Google Maps Street View and the validation that we did greatly increased the accuracy compared to just using a list of stores from the commercial databases. So in conclusion, very few green carts were truly in food deserts, even using a very conservative measure of distance to maximize food deserts, but they may provide some other benefits. And some food deserts do exist where green card vendors could be potentially incentivized to locate. So to address this question of whether mobile vending is a solution to healthy foods and obesity, I think there's still the questionable economic viability of this mobile produce vending. A lot of the vendors said that the number of customers that the vendors would have in a day varied between 20 and 500. So they had to locate in very high traffic areas to get to be economically sustainable. The other issue of using mobile vending as a solution is that at least in New York City, where the green carts are outside, they're closed almost half the year just due to weather. And especially given the last winter we've had and this upcoming winter, sort of availability by season is definitely a concern. And geographic reach, mobile vending isn't always a solution that's viable in more suburban areas. It definitely seems to be limited sort of to large cities. However, it's encouraging to see that this model of perhaps having fresh fruits and vegetables drive around to certain locations, that is also an encouraging possibility. So that is all I have for you. Just want to acknowledge my mentors and co-authors, Carol and Ashley and Ellen Cromley. Thank you.
Hi, thanks for that. That was great. I'm just wondering, and I may have missed it, if you can talk about the sourcing, where vendors are getting the food that they're selling?
Oh, sure. I did not mention it. Most of the vendors actually source from the wholesaler, which is in the Bronx at Hunts Point, which is where most of the grocery stores in the city get their fruits and vegetables from. They're not subsidized. So some of them will go every day and pick up fruits and vegetables that they need. Others will call a middleman and be like, I need a box of bananas and some grapes today, nothing else. Yeah.
That was great. This is Diego Rose, Tulane University. I'm wondering a couple of questions. It seems that a quarter mile is pretty short, especially for, given that New York is a walking town. Usually we think of food deserts as either a kilometer or a mile. And so that would seem to, and maybe you want to comment on how your results might change if that was the case instead. So that was one question. And then, maybe while you can do that, I'll think.
Okay, so that is a really good point. So the reason we chose a quarter mile is that there have been a couple of surveys that have been done that show that 5 minutes or a quarter mile is about as far as people were willing to travel to shop, at least on a frequent basis. If we change that that boundary. We actually looked at it at a quarter mile and a half mile in our analysis. I only talked about the quarter mile, but that was still significant. Way more carts are in are not in food deserts, and they're much closer to supermarkets still.
And then, so if they are locating in places where there's other stores and high traffic areas, I wonder if is there generally any complaints to the city about them? Are the other retailers in those areas saying, hey, why are you guys giving these folks a chance to do this, where they're taking our business and it's not really needed? So.
Yeah, that's a really good point. There are actually some controversy about that, and I think a lot of the small independent grocers have complained, especially if a cart has set up like right outside their doorstep. But street vending is available, you know, everywhere in New York City. So I don't think that they will have any sort of grounds for sort of getting rid of them, unfortunately, or fortunately. Yeah.
So are there
Yeah, so...
The question was on the policy changes. And
yeah, so the question was what policy recommendations would we have for the Department of Health to potentially improve this program? Is that what I'm getting at?
How likely is it that any of those might be considered, do you think?
Yeah, so the policy recommendation that I would have is, there are a couple. One, potentially allowing vendors to sell indoors during, you know, inclement weather, like, so finding some indoor locations. Currently, that's not allowed. And really, to achieve the target of, really reaching food deserts, you would probably have to have the government subsidize vendors to go to specific locations. You know, so since we can map where are the food deserts and where are these candidate locations, you know, hopefully, you know, I'm planning to share this with the Department of Health, and hopefully that they'll be able to take those findings and sort of direct vendors to go to where there aren't already carts. I don't know how likely that is.
Restrictions on what they can sell and what they cannot sell?
Yes. They are only allowed to sell whole, uncut fresh fruits and vegetables. They're not allowed to sell, you know, bottled water or peanuts or anything else, and they're not supposed to slice the fruit in any way for health regulations. Which does actually limit sort of, a lot of vendors wish that they could sell, you know, cut up fruit because it would, you know, a lot more people would buy them.
Hi, I've missed most of the presentation, I'm sorry. I'm trying to not jump in on every question. I actually helped manage that program for 3.5 years, but so to add a little bit more context, that would be one of my recommendations, and many recommendations would be allowing cut fruits and vegetables, because it's an extreme moneymaker. There's a lot of vendors who risk getting hundreds and hundreds of dollars of fines because they're making so much more money on the sliced fruits and vegetables. Yes, there are complaints from supermarkets and bodegas with a green card setting up in front of them. There's not that many right in front, and we also see more green grocers popping up around green carts. I didn't see the data in your presentation, but I saw your note that there's few green carts in food deserts.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue that is not the case. Half the vendors are in the Bronx. The vast majority of the Bronx I would consider a food desert, especially if you're looking at density of population, so I would disagree with that. Although there are certainly some vendors in more borderline neighborhoods. Okay, I'm going to stop there. I could talk all day, but I'm going to stop there, but I'm really glad that this topic was covered.
Thank you.
Oh, my name is Cassandra Flexig, and I used to work for a food consultancy in New York called Park Resources, but now I manage healthy food strategies at Cypress Hill Local Development Corporation in Brooklyn.
Great, thank you so much.
Any questions, comments? Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you.